This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Horror Bites on Safe Room, the show where we highlight short indie horror games and the people who make them. I'm waiting on a train to nowhere, and he's trying not to be the weakest link in a deadly game show. I'm Neil Bolt, and he is Jay Krieger. How goes it, Jay?
Hey man, doing very well. Excited to chat about these picks for the week.
Indeed. This week, more snack-sized horror gaming with a twisted game show and a very offbeat train passenger simulator. These games can be found on itch.io, and if you play them and enjoy them, please help the developers out by supporting their present and future works in any way you can. As ever, links for both games will be included in the show notes. So first, this week, Jay, we ask, who wants to be a murderer?
Yeah, so this was from Coding for Artist, and it was made in less than 2 weeks for a game jam with the theme of aberration, and I think that they certainly nailed that mark. So this drops the player into what is basically like a 90s TV game show, competing against three other contestants. And while things begin familiar enough with answering multiple choice questions, it very quickly becomes apparent that these questions have a bit more of a sinister edge to them. In that, one of the very first questions that the players asked, at least in some runs, is something about their knowledge of like medieval torture devices. In another one, there's a question about cannibalism. And that sort of becomes the theme of the questions being asked about, surrounding this taboo sort of morbid subject matter. And what I was really impressed with right off the bat was the fact that if this was just the kind of straightforward linear type of experience, you're going to be asked these strange questions and then, trying to eliminate people by getting more questions correct, that'd be one thing. But this game has a great deal of replay value in the sense that you're going to have different questions every time, or at least the order of them will be different. And at the same time, there's going to be different mini games that can be introduced at various stages within this competition. So that right there was very impressive because of the fact that, there's not only this variety of the types of questions or mini games that come up with the game show nature of it, but just the fact that it has that level of replayability, which is not always a factor, I think, with, again, talking about these bite-sized experiences and the fact that this was made in less than 2 weeks, which is, even all the more impressive. So once you get through like some of the rounds of questioning, you get one of those mini games that takes you to the next round. And, for my first run through, it was a game of like five finger filet, which if people don't know what that is, it's where you put your fingers down on a table and then you take a knife and you try to hit the spots in between your fingers. And doing that mini game was just, again, like this sort of like fucked up take on WarriorWare almost, which I'm always a fan of. We've seen that in the past with a couple of other games and whatnot. And then in another playthrough, there was one where you turn around and face the audience and you try to kill as many people in the audience before the time runs out. So it's just this, really messed up sort of series of mini games and whatnot. And what I further liked about it was the fact that there is some level of strategy or player choice involved, though it might not be, as deep as some people might imagine, but like in between each rounds of questionings or mini games, you can interact with the other people that are in the audience that are competing against. And so people will give you offers of like, hey, let's screw over this contestant, or do you want to like ally and vice versa? And, you know, the player can either choose to accept or at the last moment, you know, go against the plan and whatnot and see the ramifications of that. So for a game that's only about 10 or 15 minutes long, there's a great deal of replayability. It has this nice, morbid sort of spin on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, essentially, and whatnot. And yeah, it was the type of thing where I was like, okay, I'm looking forward to actually replaying this a couple of times, on top of the fact that it has a leaderboard to see who can, you know, get the highest score and whatnot, whether for the mini games or the questions being answered. But yeah, this was a fun kind of twist on something that seemed a lot more straightforward, but it utilizes, you know, the horror aspect of it really well for the constraints of the size of the experience. How did you get on with Who Wants to Be a Murderer?
Yeah, this is an interesting idea. I think we see a lot of games go for the throwback to the PS1 era sort of stuff. And one of those, one of the best thing PS1 games of all time is the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire game, which was basic as fuck. But, you know, it's like, but on the other side of that, you had weirdo shit like Bishy Bashy Special, which was just like mini game show thing. It was like, you know, and it was, it's like a mix of those two things in a way. Like, you get those mini games, you get the weird stuff, you get that very 90s TV presentation. And I thought that was like, you know, to put a nice horror spin on that was quite impressive. You know, like, that can, we are sort of having that at the minute with certain aspects of horror, where, you know, you can take a game show sort of idea and turn it into horror, if you will. It was on a episode of Inside Number 9, I think, last season, where they had that, where they did a fake out episode where they pretended it was an entire TV show that no one had ever heard of, had a person that was known to present it, and then weird things started to happen throughout the episode. But it was, so it was, yeah, that same format of like, oh, it just could be, you know, any old game show sort of thing, up until the point it turns a bit sinister. I mean, this is obviously very extreme. No, nothing like that happens. I think that would definitely defy belief. But yeah, you know, for, again, for a game jam sort of concept, it's perfect. I think it just really nails what it's going for very quickly. And it takes a little while to sort of figure out the ins and outs of it, and, you know, the voting system, and, you know, there's some sort of morality system effectively involved in it, but it's difficult to ascertain exactly how accurate it is, which, you know, again, very much feels like a game from that era. So maybe, intentional or not, it does the job.
Yeah, and I'll say, just, you know, the environment that the game show is taking place in is very simplistic, but it also at the same time is reminiscent of those types of, you know, 90s game shows. But there's just something off about it a little bit. Like, the fact that when you look up into the audience, it's cutouts of an audience that sort of bob up and down, but they, you know, lack any sort of features and whatnot. At the same time, you know, the contestants are just these very sort of generic looking people that don't have a great deal of detail in their faces or anything like that, which again gives it this kind of dreamy edge or quality to it. And yeah, it makes for an experience that I loved how it was able to blend something that is outside of the horror genre, but again, kind of like you had said, applying that horror tint to it, it makes it that much more memorable. And it's just fun to see a creative kind of run off with their morbid side a little bit and applying that to that formulaic nature of game shows. And yeah, again, in a 2-week period, this came together really, really well, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to see, you know, when the concept really gets, you know, is perfect for a game jam, I think, like that. So yeah, well done. We're boarding a train to Busan. So in the meantime, wait here and we'll be right back.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's.
Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome back to Horror Bites. This week's pick from me is New Osong Station from Scargo Games. In this game, you enter an exclusive train station to board a high-speed train in Korea with the express warning that you should not get off until you reach your destination. It's fair to say I've pretty much wrapped up what the game is in saying that. You see things, obviously, on the journey. It's very much a gamble in what we do with Horror Bites, that sometimes you are getting a proof of concept, and that's fine. We've discussed plenty of proof of concepts. But I think it's a good example of, like, if you are going to do that, maybe have a little more, you know, a few more eggs in the pan, you know, if you're going to do that. Because this is very much, you do get on the train or get off the train, game ends. That's it, really. There's not much to spoil here. That's the full route of it. But what I will say about this is the reason I picked it in the first place was this aesthetic it has, which is this really simplistic looking thing, but with really scuzzy lo-fi sort of, you know, video feed thing going on, which feels absurd in looking at it, because why is it a video feed on a person who's walking around? Who knows? But that little logo it has in the corner, which, you know, it feels like there's some sort of, you know, greater story to it. You know, so it's like an official feed of something, but it's on a person. It's like, all right, this is in itself is like cool. And then the noises, the audio in this game is really good for what it's doing. You know, like everything feels a bit surreal, and the sound of footsteps is just like almost squelchy sort of quality to it as you're going through the train. And yeah, once you get on the train, which is literally like two cars, I think, and it's just nothing inside. You don't see the outside when you're in there, when it's moving. And yeah, get on the train, stay on the train to the end, game ends. Get off the train when it makes a stop, game ends. That's it, which is the unfortunate part. But, you know, I can give it plenty of credit for that, you know, aesthetically and visually, especially. Audio is brilliant as well, so... Yeah, nice try, I would say, but definitely needs the rest of what this is, I think. Would you agree there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny how similar our notes are, in that I literally had the same two notes where it was like, good sound design from the standpoint of just like, there is something to hearing your footsteps and it almost changing based upon the environment you're in, based on walking across the station or within the train cars. It just... there's something about it that is a little disconcerting, I think. You're almost more aware of like your own movements throughout this game because of that. And also, again, like you had said, the sort of look of this game and the presentation of it, while it might not necessarily make sense from like, because it has this found footage sort of look to it, but at the same time, it's like, what are they filming? They're just filming themselves getting onto a train. It doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, but I think that if they end up adding some type of narrative context to it of like, hey, this is somebody that's whatever, doing a solo trip on trains or just want to go to Busan and document their day. And then, of course, actually adding a little bit more a supernatural content or something along those lines to have that payoff of making it worth exploring the train. Because for me, both times, I played this twice because I was so confused the first time it abruptly ended. Because I got on the train and then it stopped and I got off and then immediately like died and had a reboot to the beginning of the game. And I was just like, oh shit. Okay. I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to do that. And then the second time I played through, I got on the opposite train car and I just hung out on the train car, explored it, walked around the aisles, assumed I had missed something. So I did that three or four times. And then it just arrives at the station, Busan, and I got off again. And then, you know, I got credits rolled and I was just kind of like, okay. I mean, I like the presentation and everything, but like, there's not a whole lot to do. So like you had said, I think that conceptually this has some promise, but it needs more content. And the developer said on their itch.io page, like, hey, I'm adding more stuff to it. I want to show you guys some additional features and whatnot down the road. But at the same time, it's like, I wish that we had actually gotten that the first time around. It's one thing if it's like,
yeah,
of course, with Horror Bites, you understand that a lot of these projects are in development, but I feel like sometimes the freedom that comes with showing something off that is in development, some people maybe do not have the best gauge for when to actually show that to the public. You know what I mean? This felt like it was almost one or two steps in development before it should have actually been shared, just because, you know, you, if you have these games that get uploaded as frequently as they do, you have really got to make a great first impression, or at least make an impression that goes beyond like, this could have potential, because that could have is really up in the air with this one. But yeah, it's the type of thing I'd like to see more, but who knows when that'll be and what that will actually consist of.
This is it. And if it's, if there's so much to add, it's, you don't know if it's just detail, if it's just, you know, if it's narrative or whatever, but you know, if it's detail, then that would be a bad idea, I think, because I think it's the way it looks and feels at the minute is just spot on for whatever they're going for. I would hate it if it was just a case of the tags being used to just be part of certain tags, you know, and we don't get horror, but it doesn't feel like that, because it does have, it has something about it that, you know, feels horror infused. But I guess it's a case of seeing where it goes, you know, and hopefully we do see it go somewhere and come back to it one day and find that it was just a very slow start for something promising.
Yeah, this was one that I definitely was thinking like, yeah, this will be added to the list of ones that I'll check in on in, you know, whatever, three or four months, just to see what, to see if the developer's vision for it evolved or was able to implement more on that. Because like you said, like visually speaking, it has a strong aesthetic in that regard. It's just that when it comes to the gameplay portion of it, it needs a little bit more substance, and little is an understatement.
Yes, absolutely. That's us wrapped up for the week. If you are a developer of an indie horror game, demo concept, or game jam entry, then we would love to hear from you. You can drop us a DM at SaferInPod on Twitter or saferinpod@gmail.com for email if you'd like to be highlighted or interviewed on the show. Jay, it's been a fine journey. We will be back next week, so make sure you are all aboard the Horrorbytes train.